Lecture 11 Teaching Prep, Part 2, The Price-Waldman Mini-Deck and Cases 1 through 4. Welcome back, Michael. Part 2 covers the deep dive on Price-Waldman 2025 and then the first four case studies. About 25 minutes of audio for around 25 minutes of lecture time. This is where you transition from the recap into the substantive new material of the lecture, and your single biggest risk in this stretch is overinvesting in the Price-Waldman material and running out of time for cases. 12 minutes on the mini deck. No more. The cases are where the framework gets ratified and you cannot skip them. Let us start with the mini deck. After your design rule slide where you said before we go there, let us deep dive the paper that just generated all of this. You advance into slide 6. Price-Waldman 2025, what the paper tested. This is your first mini deck slide, and it lasts about 90 seconds. The slide has the figure 2A image on the left. That is the sampling diagram. 12 focal patches across 6 Tangara tanager species. 6 carotenoid patches. 6 structural patches. Females and males. On the right is a hypotheses card with 4 numbered hypotheses. Open with the dataset. Price, Waldman and colleagues, Science Advances, December 2025. The dataset on the left is figure 2A. 12 focal patches across 6 Tangara species, 3 carotenoid and 3 structural per side, females and males. Why Tangara? Because the genus contains both color mechanisms in one radiation. That phylogenetic control is what makes the comparative test rigorous. Then walk through the 4 hypotheses on the right card. 1. Are hidden achromatic layers correlated with the visible color above them? 2. Does the rule apply to both carotenoid and structural patches? 3. Does it explain dichromatism between males and females? 4. Is it conserved across the broader colorful passerine radiation? Then deliver the methodological point that justifies the whole mini deck. The genius of this design is that it tests the rule across both color mechanisms simultaneously. If only the carotenoid patches showed white underfeathers, you might argue it is a feature of pigments, that they need a backing for saturation. If only the structural patches had black underfeathers, you might argue it is about preventing washout. Showing both patterns in one comparative tanager radiation rules out single mechanism explanations. Say that out loud at full energy. It is the conceptual reason students should care about a 4-hypothesis paper instead of a 3-hypothesis paper. Then bridge. How did they test this? 4 lines of evidence. Advance. Slide 7. 4 lines of evidence. The slide is a 2x2 grid showing figure 1 panels A through D, confocal microscopy on top left, schematic on top right, specimens on bottom left, reflectance spectra on bottom right. Walk through the 2x2 quickly, about 60 seconds total. Panel A, confocal microscopy. They imaged feather cross sections directly and saw the achromatic backing layer in the microscope. Panel B, the schematic. The design rule made explicit. Panel C, specimens with the colorful tips removed. Empirical demonstration on real birds. White layer revealed under carotenoid patches. Black layer revealed under structural patches. Panel D, reflectance spectra of the achromatic layers themselves. Quantitative confirmation. Then deliver the methodological synthesis. Microscopy plus schematic plus specimens plus spectroscopy. One rule for converging methods. Each method could have falsified the design rule. None did. That is how you know it is real. Drop a project pointer here. When you propose a hypothesis about your fish clade, this is the level of methodological convergence to aim for. Don't rest on one demo. Multiple methods, multiple measurement scales, all converging on the same answer. That is what an A-grade analysis looks like in this course. Now slides 8 through 11 are the 4 method rows in figure 3. Each one is a 30-second slide. Walk through them briskly. The point is that the same pattern shows up in 4 independent measurements at different scales. Don't dwell on the data. The pattern is the lesson. Slide 8. Method 1. Multispectral photography. Figure 3, row 1. Whole feather lightness and saturation extracted across 6 channels. The carotenoid case is Tangara mexicanus belly. The structural case is Tangara vesorii's crown. Same patch type within each species. Different hidden achromatic layer. measurably different brightness and saturation distributions. Tell students. Same color mechanism. Different achromatic backing. Different visible color. That is the pattern. We are going to see it 3 more times in 3 more methods. Slide 9. Method 2. Microspectrophotometry. Figure 3, row 2. Drilling down. Single feather reflectance. Carotenoid example, Tangara celadon rump. Structural example, Tangara cyanocephala crown. Same comparative logic at finer measurement scale. Reflectance curves shift identically with the achromatic backing in both cases. Same result, different method. 30 seconds. Slide 10. Method 3, hyperspectral imaging on specimens. Figure 3, row 3. Propixel hyperspectral imaging on intact specimens. The star here is Tangara chilensis. The same male individual has a carotenoid patch on the rump and a structural patch on the belly. The achromatic layer-dependent pattern shows up in one bird. Individual level effects controlled. One bird, two patches, same mechanism bilayer signature. This is the cleanest possible test because the only thing varying is the patch type within one bird. Worth flagging that to students who care about methodology. It is a beautiful design choice. Slide 11. Method 4, optical layering model. Figure 3, row 4. 3 rows of empirical data. 1 row of theoretical prediction. The simulation reproduces the observed brightness and saturation differences. Theory matches data. Closes the loop. Then add the project pointer. When you model your fish reflectance later in the term, the same logic applies. Model and measure. Look for convergence. That is how you make a strong inference. Theory plus data is stronger than either alone. Then the bridge sentence. All 4 methods agree. Now, does this rule explain something biology has long puzzled over? Sexual dichromatism. Advance. Slide 12. Dichromatism comes from the layer, not the pigment. This is the juicy slide of the mini deck. About 2 minutes. Figure 4 on the left shows 3 carotenoid patches across 3 species. Tangara parzudaki crown, Tangara arthus crown, Tangara celadon rump. The right side has a card explaining dichromatism and the finding. Open with the question. What is dichromatism? Males and females of the same species differ in apparent color. The classical assumption, going back to Hill, McGraw, decades of work, was that males have more carotenoid. Better diet, brighter pigment. Then deliver the finding with appropriate weight. Price-Waldman complicate this picture. The male-female difference in these patches is not primarily in pigment composition. It is in the architecture of the achromatic layer underneath. The hidden layer architecture is sexually selected. The pigment chemistry isn't. Pause for 2 seconds. This is genuinely surprising. Let students sit with it. Then explain why it matters. Because the achromatic layer is a developmental and structural trait, dichromatism is reporting on a different axis of male quality, developmental fidelity, and structural integrity than carotenoid pigment alone, which reports diet and parasite load. Multidimensional honest signal living in different feather layers. Connect this forward to LEC16 when you cover sexual signaling. This is going to come back. Then deliver a project hint. For your fish projects, if your species shows sexual dichromatism in a carotenoid patch, do not assume more pigment in males. Test the iridophore layer underneath too. The same logic could apply. That is a substantive new hypothesis you can hand a student doing the project. Then bridge. So that is dichromatism in the Tanager radiation. But is the design rule a Tanager quirk or a deeper signature? Advance. Slide 13. Same rule, all colorful passerines. Figure 5 on the left, the 8 family phylogeny. Right side, the big point card. About 90 seconds. Open with the comparative spread. 8 families surveyed across the passerine radiation. Both major clades, subacines and ossines. Pittidae. Thamnophilidae. Frenariidae. Piperidae. Cotingidae. Icteridae. Passerellidae. Thropidae. In every family that has both carotenoid and barb-based structural plumage, the same design rule applies. White under pigment. Black under structure. Then deliver the conservation argument. This isn't a Tanager quirk. It is a passerine-wide design rule. conserved across 50-plus million years of independent evolution. That is the signature of a strong selective optimum. If this were just a tanager-level quirk, it could be evolutionary contingency. Across 8 families converging on the same hidden layer architecture, that tells you natural selection has independently rediscovered the same design solution. Take home. Hidden achromatic feather layers are themselves a phenotype with deep evolutionary history. When you analyze your reef fish, ask the analogous question. What is the layer under the patch? The chromatophore stack from LEC9 is doing the same job in fish skin that the achromatic feather layers are doing in bird feathers. Then transition. Okay, we have spent the recap deep diving into one paper. Now back to today's framework. Advance. You are now leaving the mini deck. The next stop is the roadmap, then the framework, then the flamingo anchor, all of which are covered in part one of your prep. In the live lecture, you do them right here in sequence. In this prep audio, we already rehearsed them. You can mentally rejoin part one around the working definition slide if you need to refresh. Then move on into the case studies. Block 3. The case studies. This is the longest single content stretch of the lecture, and it has the highest density of content per minute. 8 cases plus a think pair share in the middle. Cases 1 and 5 are the load-bearing ones. Cases 2 and 4 are convergence anchors. Cases 3, 6, 7, and 8 are nuance. Treat them accordingly. Case 1, green parrots. This is the textbook case, and it deserves about 3 minutes. Open with a hook that lands hard. Most green parrots have NO green pigment. 0. Their green is a mixed mechanism color produced by 2 layers of physics and chemistry in the same feather barb. Pause after no green pigment, 0. The pause is the lesson. Students assume green animals contain green pigment. The whole lecture pivots on dislodging that assumption. Then the recipe. Layer 1 is structural blue. Spongy keratin with quasi-ordered air voids in the feather barb. Coherent scattering, broadband peak around 450 nanometers. Same family of mechanism as a blue jay feather. You can name check the blue jay here. Students saw it in LEC10 and it builds the bridge. Bleach the feather with methanol. The yellow pigment dissolves. The feather appears blue. That is one of the most striking demos in feather biology. Layer 2 is yellow pigment. Psittaca fulvin. This is a parrot-specific pigment. Linear polyene similar in architecture to a carotenoid, but synthesized de novo by the bird rather than acquired through diet. That phrase, synthesized de novo, is worth saying because it distinguishes psittaca fulvin from carotenoids. Carotenoids come from food. Psittaca fulvin comes from the bird's own metabolism. That is a major evolutionary innovation in parrots. They escaped the dietary dependency that constrains carotenoid-based color in songbirds. Grind the feather, the structure is destroyed, but the pigment survives. You get yellow powder. Then the math. Blue plus yellow. Subtractive color mixing. Net result, green. Say it as a recipe. Blue plus yellow equals green. Pause. Then deliver the diagnostic. 3 independent experiments confirm the 2 mechanism story. Bleach yields blue. Grind yields yellow. Tilt the intact feather, the blue component shifts angle, the yellow does not. 3 independent manipulations, 3 independent confirmations. This is the cleanest mixed mechanism case in biology. Both contributions are separable. Both are removable. Both are diagnosable. Tell students to remember this case if they remember nothing else. Citations on screen. Dyke 1971, Strati et al. 2001, McGraw and Noguer 2005. Acknowledge them. Move on. Don't linger. Case 2, Peacocks Revisited. 2 minutes Max Rosemary did peacocks last Thursday. You are going one click deeper. Z et al. 2003, PNS. Every color in a peacock's eye spot, blue, green, yellow-brown, copper, is made by the same materials with different spacing. Melanin rods in a 2D hexagonal lattice with keratin matrix between rods and air holes along the rod axis. Then the punch table. Lattice spacing 140 nanometers gives blue. 150 gives green. 165 gives yellow-brown. 185 gives copper. One material. One molecule. For colors. Geometry alone produces the variation. The conceptual move here is the second punchline. Is the peacock a mixed mechanism? Yes and no. Yes, because both melanin and structure are involved. No, because melanin in peacocks isn't acting as the chromophore. Melanin isn't selectively absorbing visible light. Melanin is the high refractive index building block. The category pigmentary versus structural begins to blur. This is your first taste of what the continuum will resolve. Say it explicitly. In parrots, pigment and structure are separable contributions. In peacocks, the pigment is the structural element. We will come back to this on the continuum slide at the end of class. That forward reference is teaching architecture. Students should hear continuum 3 or 4 times before they see the slide. Case 3, butterflies. Papilio swallowtails. Vukusic et al. 2001, Proceedings of the Royal Society B. 2 minutes. The recipe is chitin multilayer plus papilliochrome pigment. The multilayer reflects in the blue-green range. The papilliochrome absorbs UV and short-wavelength blue and fluoresces yellow-green. Crucially, the two contributions interact. The structural element creates a light trap cavity. The little bit of light that gets absorbed excites papilliochrome fluorescence. The emitted yellow-green light gets channeled by the multilayer in specific directions. Net effect, the wing looks more saturated and brighter than either pure structural or pure pigment color would predict. This is the first synergistic, not just additive, case in the lecture. Underline the word synergistic. The structural element changes how the pigment radiates light. Same physics is being exploited in solar cells, LED phosphors, and photonic crystal lasers today. Pair a fluorescent dye with a periodic structure, you get directional narrow band emission. Butterflies got there 100 million years before us. That is a one-line aside, not a tangent. Say it and move on. Case 4, jewel beetles. 2 minutes. Buprestidae and Cetonianae. Chrysochroa fulgidissima on the slide. Elytra contain 5 to 20 alternating layers of chitin and melanin-rich chitin. Refractive index contrast around 1.56 versus 2.0, strong multilayer interference. Reflectance peaks anywhere from 400 to 700 nanometers, depending on layer thickness. The teaching beat is melanin's 3 jobs in 1 molecule. 1. High refractive index, strong interference. 2. Light absorber, prevents washout. 3. Sclerotization of the cuticle, tough armor. 1 molecule, 3 jobs. Pigment, structural element, structural protein. Then the convergence beat. Birds use keratin plus melanin. Beetles use chitin plus melanin. Different lineages, different proteins, same trick. Convergence on a physical principle, not on a developmental gene. This is your second best opportunity in the lecture to see a comparative biology insight. Don't oversell it, but do say convergence on a physical principle out loud. The diagnostic in jewel beetles is the most extreme version of mixing in the case set. Both grinding and bleaching eliminate color. There is no separable pigmentary contribution. The pigment is the structure. This case will live on the far end of the continuum at position 5. End of cases 1 through 4. Check your watch. You should be at minute 45 of the lecture. Give or take 2 minutes. If you are past minute 50, accept that you will need to compress one of cases 5 through 8. Cases 6 and 7 are the most cuttable. Don't cut case 5, the tree frog, and don't cut case 8, the blue tang, because those are the project tie-ins. End of part 2. Part 3 covers the first TPS, the 4 answer cases for that TPS, the second TPS, the continuum, the synthesis, and the closing. See you in part 3.